It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
Yo, police!
When Ham the AstroTurf says, no more space flights. Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
Yo, police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, he's the poster child for no cloning, Paul LaVoy.
You can lay me down, watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. Very special show today. It's Tuesday, April 16th. 2024. Got a lot to talk about with two very cool gentlemen. Well, one of them's cool. One of them's been here before. No, I'm kidding, George. George Link's here. AZ Flags and Flagpoles. And you brought me a special guest. George, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody. I'm a guest here today. It's really about my good friend and partner here, Chuck Taylor.
Yes, Chuck Taylor. And I got the title right here. I'm supposed to say Air Force twice, but I'm not going to. It's retired Air Force GS-12 pilot, Chuck Taylor. And you piloted one of the fastest aircraft that I have ever researched, and I'm very, very impressed. Welcome to the Speak Out, Chuck.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And you live here in Lake Havasu.
I do. I've had a domicile here for 24 years.
A domicile.
I love it. I've been in and out.
Right, right. Not exactly a barracks, but a domicile, right? I love it. All right. So I'm going to forego all the housekeeping and that I usually do on the show. I don't know if you listen to Speak Out. I know George does. And because I wanted to give you as much time as possible. And thank you for being on the show, by the way. We had you scheduled last month, I believe, but you weren't able to come in, which is fine. You wanted to start. I said, where do you want to start? You said at birth, and that was in Oregon. Why do you want to start there?
So it kind of sets in order things that happened to me.
Okay.
I was born in the 40s. To a man that fathered me, and he left my mother 2 weeks before I was born.
Oh, my goodness.
He expected a lot out of me. Uh-huh. I had 12 meetings with him in my life. A very different man type of person.
Let me stop you there. Was he military?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he was. Anyway, 1951 or two, my appendix burst. And a girlfriend of my mother, her name was Jeannie Holmes. Mm-hmm. She was the first woman general of the United States Air Force. And she never married. She never had any kids. I think she took some kind of notice to me because in my life, she seemed to, I talked to my mother, she asked about me. In 1960, well, the Century Series fighters were built in the 50s, and a lot of kids were interested. Revell made models of them, the F-100, 101, 102, 103 was a toss-out, 104, 105, and 106, mm-hmm. and kids built the models of those. In 1960, some kids at Franklin High School worked for a company called Precision Cast Parts, and they were about 8 miles south of Franklin High School. They had a very large press out there. It could press 60,000 pounds per square inch. And some of the guys started thinking they were pressing titanium panels out there. And this will, as I explain more, these panels were used in the Blackbird, in both the A-12 and the SR-71.
Okay.
The CIA and Howard Hughes, which funded at that time, there wasn't a Black program. Mr. Hughes funded that. He put up the money for many things.
And what year was that?
19, well, from 47 on to until they started the Black program.
So he was still lucid. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. I know a lot about Howard Hughes, being from Las Vegas myself.
Right.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah, you know about Summer Linden.
That was his mother's maiden name.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And the land, the test site, was his. Howard Hughes.
In Nye County? I had no idea. Wow. Anyway, go ahead.
And they swapped that out.
Right.
They swapped that for Summerlin.
You were talking about the panels.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So they were built the panels out there, and some of the guys that would work nights and weekends out there. So I kind of learned, you know, a little bit about that, because I was always interested in mechanics and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In 1962, I got a book in the mail. It was about the Saturn V rocket that Wernher von Braun was working on.
Right.
And I had this manual, and I kept it under my bed, and it was given to me. I had no idea. But anyway, moving on. In about 1965, I was in the hallway outside of Mr. Mabry's math class at Franklin, and a man named Richard Dick Bissell, I didn't know his name at that time. Didn't know who he was, wearing a suit and top coat, and asked me what I was going to do for my military obligation. And I told him that I didn't know. And he said, would I be interested in joining an outfit he was putting together? And I says, well, sure. So that's kind of how I got involved with this. And he... after a couple of weeks, I signed some papers, and after a couple of weeks, they sent from the Air Force a certificate, and I was indoctrinated, in so to speak, into the Air Force Reserve.
Indoctrinated.
Yeah.
So that was the Air Force Reserve.
Though. Air Force Reserve.
Was this the Army Air Corps at the time, or the Air Force?
No, it was still Air Force. It was
okay.
Air Force. Air Force came into being about 47, I believe.
Yeah, my father was in the Army Air Corps, and when it changed to the Air Force.
General Arnold, Hap Arnold, is the one that pushed for that, and he's the one that made the separation from the Army Air Corps. And,
right.
August 47.
If you look at my father's first Air Force photo, the induction photo, he has the jacket, you know, the brown bomber jacket. Yeah. So, but he always says he was in the Air Force, but his photo was Army Air Corps.
Right.
Very interesting.
Right.
But anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, a couple months later, I was sent McCarran Field Las Vegas.
Yeah, McCarran Airport.
And
sure.
On the west side of McCarran is a place called Janet, and it's called Joint Army Navy Transportation, and they named it Janet.
In those days.
In those days.
Did it become Hughes Airfield?
You
said it was to the west?
It was to the west.
Okay.
A building. It was a couple buildings.
Oh, I got
out
you.
There.
Okay,
a couple
go ahead.
Building. They have 707s out there. And they would fly us to the test site. That's where we went.
Right.
We trained out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
to Mercury.
Yeah. Out of Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
And we trained there for a while. And we had a couple of AC-119 gunships. And that was basically a CIA program. They took us to a place called Phan Rang. It was on the central coast, close to the water. And we did missions out of there. And I met some people over there. And one of the guys' name was Dennis. Can't think of his last name.
That's
anyway,
okay.
He was pastor of the local church down here. One of the churches down here. And I hadn't seen him in 50 years. And I met him again. I recognized him. They used to call him the Yo-Yo Man because he was really good with the yo-yo. And Bethel Bible Church, Bethel.
Okay.
And so anyway, I remember when we were taking off and the base was being shelled. And here's Dennis out there and his crew, and they were getting some F-100s ready for some more sorties that they were going to that were being generated out there.
This is training.
And, no, this wasn't training.
Oh.
No, they were firing at the base with live shells. The North Vietnamese.
I got you. Okay.
And you know, as we were taking off, here they are on the side working, getting the planes ready to go.
I'm multitasking.
Yeah,
over
yeah.
Here. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
Chuck.
You know,
yeah.
It's fine. And we, did our mission, and within a couple months, we lost both planes and 23 guys.
Wow.
And so they flew me back. I was only survivor, so they flew me back to the test site.
How old are you at this time?
Jeez, what was I? 18?
18.
Yeah.
Wow. And you lost 23.
Yeah, 23 people.
23 people who were
folks and
right.
They were just wonderful people.
23 friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who served with you?
Yes.
Okay.
And so we went back out to the test site, and then they sent me down to Kirtland Air Force Base. It was down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they ran us through a program down there. I've been asked about this before. They hooked up probes to us in my private parts, and they gave us shocks. They also did things like sleep deprivation.
Is this?
You would go to.
Let me stop you for a second. Is this still the Air Force, or are we on the CIA right now?
I'm working for the CIA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we crossed that boundary yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought so. When you said probes, I'm thinking CIA.
The company.
So
the company calls it, right?
Yeah, the company.
Exactly.
Right.
Not exactly Walmart, but it's the company.
No.
All right.
So we go down there, and they also did sleep deprivation training.
Wow.
We would go to bed at 8. They would wake us up at 10 o'clock, and you had to go outside, stand at attention, and it's cold as hell because you only had your underwear on.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we had to go back to sleep, get up at 12, do the same thing. 2 in the morning, do the same thing, so we could get up at 4:15, 4:30, get ready to go to school. So that's the kind of things that we did. They brought us, came back to the test site. They flew us to a place called Bentwaters Woodbridge, England. Woodbridge was a CIA controlled, part of the base was controlled by the CIA. That's where they taught you to fly the F-100.
Okay.
And the F-100 is prevalent because the cockpit of the F-100 is the same cockpit that's in the A-12. And so there was no computers in those days. The only thing we had was called a star tracker. It tracked 64 stars. And Venus was probably the prevalent star.
Okay.
But while we were there, I gave a guy a ride one day, and he said, hey, he worked at Martlesham Heath. That was a CIA listening post out there. And he says, hey, I'll talk to you. Since you brought me out here, I'll give you a call to your mom. So I couldn't believe it. He had me hooked up in like 10 seconds, and it's like talking to Paul across the table here. It was clear as a bell, and this was back in the 60s.
Right.
And so also 7 miles the other side of Woodbridge was a place called Orford Ness, and they built the triggering switches for the atomic bomb out there.
Wow.
And one night I went out there over a cliff, and I watched a little bit about how they were making these things, and underneath it went right into the North Sea. And it looked like a welding machine to me because they were dripping through the floor of this. And it was very interesting to me. But that's what they did there. So while we were out there, we trained every day.
Now, what are you training for now?
We're training on the F-100.
I got you. Okay.
We're training on the F-100.
Because we're kind of skipping around here. I'm trying to keep you.
You're right.
I want to get to the SR-71 here pretty quick.
Oh, okay.
All right.
There was a colonel out there named Daniel Chappie James. He became the first four-star black general in the Air Force. Somebody in Wheelis down in Libya, a sergeant, he got raped. So about 10 of us, most of these guys are Marines, they're detached service too. We went down there with Colonel James, and far as I know, the guy that raped that sergeant never walked again. They found out who he was.
Okay.
And so they brought us back and to Woodbridge there, and then we flew back to the test site, and right away they put me in the plane. I started testing. They had two of the A-12s that were destroyed, but they saved the front of one and the back of the other, and they put the planes together, and they made a two-seater so we could train in a two-seater. There was a lot of guys out there. We lost a really good pilot, and I'm trying to think of his name.
No, that's okay.
He crashed on the field. Anyway, and we lost another one. So we lost three out of the 15 A-12s that were built. Three of them were YF-12As, and they used those because they were going to make fighters out of them. They were going to put them in Otis Air Force Base, Massachusetts. One squadron is going to be there, and one up at Payne Field in Everett, Washington. They were going to put a squadron there. The idea was to fly out the Soviet Bear and Bison bombers. We're going to fly in, drop a missile out of the Q Bay, and it would to go in the middle of these bombers and just blow them all up.
Okay.
It never materialized. Okay, so I started training with the...
So that was a weapon system that did not materialize.
It didn't materialize. That was another, it was a Hughes missile program. Mm-hmm. Mr. Hughes and his people did all the electrical work on the U-2, on the A-12, and the SR-71. They did the wiring bundles, and they had computers on the SR-71. But I did not know any about this.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you there because we need to take a break. But it's hard for me to believe with all of the contributions that Howard Hughes and Hughes Aviation made to the military. He was once accused of being a war profiteer. The politics in Washington, and what a conflict of interest that was.
Right.
You know, and let's take a short break though. Well, we got a lot of pictures here to talk about. I'm probably going to have to bring Chuck back, as you can imagine, two, maybe three times. But, no, we're talking with retired Air Force GS-12 pilot Chuck Taylor, and he piloted the SR-71 Blackbird.
A-12.
Sorry?
A-12.
I thought, you told me the SR-71.
I said the Blackbird. Yes, I did.
Was it
it's
the Blackbird?
Called the Blackbird, yeah. They call it the Blackbird.
The A-12 is too?
Yes, it is. It's also called the Blackbird, yes.
Okay, so it's the A-12 Blackbird.
Yes.
Gotcha.
A-12.
Man.
I never flew the SR-71. I was in a back seat, courtesy of Chuck Casey here that was on the council.
Well, let's find out what his top speed was, George, when we come back. We'll see if he did Mach 3 plus. We'll see if he did Mach 3 plus, because that top speed on that aircraft is 2,200 miles per hour.
Yeah.
I did some reading up on that. It can outrun a bullet.
Yeah.
That's just insane. Yeah. All right. Back with more tomorrow. And it was just a reconnaissance aircraft.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. We got some Top Gun music going for you, Chuck. Sure you love that. Back with more in a moment.
I was not a fighter pilot.
And you were not a squid either.
Oh, no.
George was a squid. Back with more in a moment.
Yeah,
stay with us. We got George Link here as well on Speak Out. Give us a call if you want to talk to Chuck. It's 928-854-5687.
Insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. We got George Link over here tapping like he's playing the piano, right?
Right.
Just don't sing, George. Just don't sing.
96 tears, no problem.
Chuck's laughing. And we're going to talk about some of the missions. And and just a lot of spy plane talk we're going to talk here on Speak Out with Chuck Taylor. He's a retired Air Force GS-12 pilot. We'll get into what GS-12 means, too. I'm sure that'll take about 5 minutes. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Just Meats, all the cuts, all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. By Patio Paradise, by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years, slightly younger than George Link. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And by Blonzi's Steakhouse, check out their Mopar versus Bowties car show this Saturday. And then you got Duck Duck Jeep, that's on May 4th, out there at Blonzi's Steakhouse, 4501 London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Chuck, we've talked about GS-12. Is that the equivalent of a colonel then in the...
Major.
A major, but it's a civilian rank, correct?
Civilian. Civilian rank, yes.
Right. So it's General Service 12. What's the highest GS ranking? Do you remember? Was it 18?
I've heard 20. But...
I worked for a gentleman named Chuck Costa, and he was our overall... I think it was called a division. It was in the EPA. We monitored the test site. And this was in the 80s. And Chuck's in the documentary Test. It's a PBS documentary called Test. And I think he was a GS-16. So I was like a GS-4, if that. So this was as a student back in the 80s. But, yeah, I'm familiar with the – it's general service, correct?
Right. Government service, but, yeah.
Government service.
Yeah, Richard Wingate, as I mentioned, was here in this late 60s, moved here. He was a GS-18.
Wow.
Okay. He was an advisor to our first mayor here in Lake Havasu, Mayor Pinto. And he worked for 5 different presidents, and he was a federal procurement officer. He bought railroads, lightings for cities. He wrote, you know, I asked him, who writes all the specs for this stuff?
Yeah.
He says, I do. And I look at his picture. He's a portly man with a bow tie and wire glasses. And I said, he looked like a salesman's worst nightmare if I ever seen one. But a nice guy. His whole house was lined with books, wall to wall, all over the place. And I asked him, I said, how do you have time to read all of this stuff? He says, I do. I said, did you take Evelyn Wood Reading Dynamics? He says, matter of fact, I did. You want to see my card?
Speed reading.
Unbelievable. An extremely intelligent man. And he's the one that emphasized most here as the city comes and other cities too.
Uh-huh.
The government has monies for everything. But you have to know how to write the grant, particularly. It's
absolutely
a very meticulous thing, though. But no matter what any city wants to buy, the government's got money for that.
That's interesting. So, all right, Chuck, the A-12 Blackbird.
Right.
Tell me about that particular aircraft. You flew it solo?
Yes, there's only one seat.
There was only one seat?
Yeah.
Okay. And what did you do? I see the pictures here that you brought in, the frame photographs. And we could talk about them one by one, but this is a reconnaissance aircraft.
It's
a spy plane.
Is this after the
U-2 then?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's a spy plane.
Yes, and they wanted it much faster because the U-2 wasn't that powerful. It just wasn't, and it couldn't go as high.
So the U-2 was more, it was a larger, longer plane and heavier, correct? So it wasn't as fast?
No.
But we're talking about a jet engine at the same time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But the J-58 is, you can't fly into space. It needs air. You gotta have air in order for the engine to work properly.
Yeah, it's a jet engine, sure.
It's a jet engine.
Uh-huh.
So it's not a rocket engine. So
the dynamics of the A-12, though, it could fly 84,000 feet, correct?
It could fly up to 40 miles. I had it up to 40 miles, which is, what, 200-some thousand feet.
It's higher than 84.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much higher.
But what's the typical cruising speed on something like that?
It's 2,256 miles per hour at 3.14 Mach, 3.14.
Yeah.
Those are and
that's three times the speed of sound. If you're listening out there and you don't know what Mach is,
right?
That's 720 miles per hour.
Is that Mach one? At 35,000 feet, Mach is 720.
Right.
But at At 35,000 feet, it's 660.
Oh.
Because the higher you go, the air is much thinner.
Oh, I got you.
But it's cold. When you're up at 103,000 feet, it's 80 below zero outside. Oh. So there's a lot of parameters you have to think about.
Sure.
Think about doing and but that was the highest.
What was it like prepping for a flight like that with the,
it was
the
2 hours.
With the flights? 2 hours of flight prep? Is that like getting in the flight suit, doing your pre-checks, all that? Pre-flight?
Because they hook you up in the system to make sure that you're 71 degrees in the pressure suit. It's full pressure suit.
Oh, wow.
So it's, you know, you just have to deal with that.
Onboard oxygen too then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right. And then what about your cruising? What's your range? Because the SR-71 was typically 90 minutes.
Yes, you have to go back about every 2 hours and get fuel.
Okay.
But the higher you are, remember, the air is thinner, so you can make the plane go a lot farther on your fuel. The faster you go, you actually save fuel. So that's...
Now, you're suiting up as a member of the company. You're in the CIA,
yes,
correct? And you're flying this A-12 as a CIA pilot.
Right.
What can you talk about those missions? What are some of your more clandestine missions?
Well, we flew over Russia.
Okay.
You had to be very careful.
To find what, like flying over Moscow?
Well, like
flying
semi-pilot-tensk.
Where?
Semi-pilot-tensk.
Okay.
They did their nuclear work there.
Oh.
So they were interested in getting...
Is this the northern part, the southern, central?
It's more towards Kiev. It's more down...
It's south.
It's
yeah.
More south.
Yeah.
South.
Because Kiev is in the Ukraine.
Yes.
Sure. Sure, sure.
Right, so it's closer to there. And that's another reason I think that the Russians...
Chernobyl's actually close to there, too.
You got it.
Yeah, did you fly... Were you flying that late in 84?
I did not fly in 84.
Okay.
My missions ended in 73 or 4.
Okay.
They took the plane out of service, and they went to the SR-71.
In 73, they took the plane out of service.
Yes,
then. Okay.
And they flew them to Palmdale, California, and that's where they rested until they were shipped out to different places in the States to be put on static display. 931, 933, and 934 are the three planes that our five people used. And 933 is on the static display in San Diego at the Air and Space Museum. It's sitting on a big pilaster.
So you're wearing a wedding band.
Yes.
And you're still married.
Yes.
Were you married then to the same woman? And how did
she
feel about this?
No.
Well, were you married then at all?
Yes, I was.
Oh, the CIA had no problem with you having a family? Or a wife?
You just couldn't talk.
Yeah, but how did they know you weren't talking, right, George? I'm just saying, most husbands tell their wives pretty much everything, or they risk the couch.
Right. You couldn't do that. Well, I got divorced, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's probably the right thing to do then.
Yeah, yeah.
And the company loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I would imagine.
Can I ask one question? Which of the three aircraft we're talking about, which one had the greatest recon or photo capability?
The camera in the SR-71 was the same one we had. I'm sure it was modified.
Really?
They modified it. But Mr. Bissell didn't want us knowing, in case we got shot down, he didn't want us knowing about that camera. And that's the way he was. You did exactly what he says, or you're out of the program, and you didn't talk. It's not like Marysville, where half the town down there were Russian spies and... You know,
well, yeah, of course, everybody knows that.
Yeah, yeah,
that's funny. Let me stop you right there. We're going to go through some of those missions because we've got the photos right here.
Right.
What I find is fascinating. What you did then is probably done by satellite technology now.
Exactly.
Okay, that's what I want to talk about when we come back.
It was $1 million a mission. $1 million a mission.
What does that mean?
Every time we went up, it was $1 million.
You got $1 million?
No, no, no.
Oh,
it cost to
do. Oh, it cost
to fly the plane up, to fuel it,
Hey,
it's chump change today.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
I'm sure you got maybe not even 10% of that.
What was it, $235 a month?
Oh, wow. All right, back with more in a moment. This is fascinating. I want to hear what the callers, if there's any callers that have questions. Make this talk radio, not just listen radio, 928-854-5687. George and I shouldn't be the only ones to talk to a retired Blackbird pilot, right?
Hey.
I'm just saying, retired Air Force GS-12 pilot Chuck Taylor here, along with George Link from AZ Flags and Flagpoles. Back with more. Is it AZ or Arizona? Does it matter?
No.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. So, George, can you narrate over this? Space, the final frontier.
That's it. Yes.
Right? George wanted Star Trek music, so that's what we're doing right now. So, all right, speak out. We do have a caller on the line who's got a question for Chuck. I'm going to go through the billboards, and then we'll get to that phone call. Speak out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, by Mojave Community College, also samsguns.com, by SunPower, by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006, and ZMI Mobility, our newest sponsor. It's like TMI, except it's ZMI. Off-road mobility scooters, ramps, lifts for pools and vehicles, car access swivel seats, and stair lifts. All at ZMI Mobility, 900 block of Lake Havasu Avenue here in Lake Havasu City. All right, let's take a phone call, and you've got a question for Chuck.
Yes, I do. My father-in-law was a engineer for Lockheed, and he worked on the A-12 and the SR-71, and the difference was the A-12 was a single-seater, and the SR-71 was the two-seater, and from a distance you couldn't really tell the difference, but... I just want to know if Chuck had worked with my father-in-law. His name was Jim Hayes.
I don't recall the name.
He doesn't recall the name, no.
Okay. He told me some interesting stories, and he used to take Janet Airlines. They would fly him to Vegas, and all the civilians would take Janet Airlines down to Area 51 for their work day and then fly back to Vegas. It's very interesting, all the information. They could give about the SR-71.
Back in the day, a lot of the nuclear guys, they called it Groom Lake.
Right.
Which is where Area 51 is. So, and then Yucca Flats was where they did the... Oh, does it say that on that picture?
Right.
Interesting. We've got a ton of photos here, sir. And, he was just pointing at the caption on the photo. It said Groom Lake on it, along with a lineup of aircraft. So, hey, thanks for the input. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for, I'm going to listen to Chuck's stories. I'm looking forward to it. Thank
you
very
friend.
Much.
Well, hopefully we get another two or three days with Chuck in the future, because I have a feeling there's a lot more to talk about. So, all right, let's go through some of these photos. That one that you just pointed to.
That's the 15 A-12s that they built. There are 15 there lined up. They had them all lined up together.
Wow.
And they took
Yeah, it's captioned Nevada Test Site Groom Lake.
Yeah.
Now, was that radar deflecting material that they were made of?
Yeah, the titanium.
The titanium, it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was very light, but it was strong.
Right.
When they made the press at 60,000 pounds. They pressed it for 54, I think, and then 45, and they decided that 50,000 would be what they needed, because they needed it strong, but yet they needed it to be a little flexible. So that's where they went with 50.
So this next photo, you actually look like an astronaut in this photo. It's pilot self photo. Charles Chuck Taylor makes ILS approach to runway. What is ILS?
Instrument landing system.
An instrument landing system approach to runway 32, about 3 miles southwest of Bald Mountain, Nevada, after 10.5 hour flight and 7 tanker refuelings. Yeah. So that's why your eyes are kind of squinted there, because you've been in the air 10.5 hours.
You got it.
Holy cow.
Johnson & Johnson did make a diaper for us. We had diapers because you can't get up. So you're there, and they had a flap on it that you could do what you had to do, and that's
wow. And that's your pressure suit, and it looks and the helmet. It looks like he's in NASA, George. That's incredible. No, that's really. And what year is that?
Oh, geez, 69.
69. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, were you doing missions over Hanoi too?
I didn't personally, but others did.
Okay.
Others, guys in my outfit, where's the pictures there? These guys. Mr. Godmanson here, he stayed with the company, or with the Air Force. He went on to be a SR-70.
We have to describe things for radio. So there's five gentlemen in this photo. It's a black and white photo, and it's full length. They're wearing suits.
Yeah.
So Godmanson, do you know who all of them are?
Danny Self and... Gary White is Frank White's brother who flew the FX-15, the rocket plane that got us went into space and flew back.
Sure.
In controlled flight.
Yeah,
gotta remember, the X-15 was the first aircraft that got us into space and flew back.
Was that in The Right Stuff, the movie? Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was. Anyway.
Yeah. We had one man die.
Okay. Did you work with Chuck Yeager at all?
I knew of him.
My dad was on his flight crew. He was Captain Yeager.
Wow.
back in the day. That's way back. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when we started. That's when Walt Williams, he was a big man. He controlled everything.
That was at Nellis Air Force Base.
Edwards.
No, my dad was at Nellis.
Nellis,
It was Captain Yeager at Nellis. So, interesting. But, yeah, Hanoi, and then there were other prime targets like Cambodia. Did you fly over Cambodia?
Yes, I did.
Before the bombings.
Yes. Yeah, they were getting information.
What about Laos?
Yes.
So this is when Nixon was president in 68, right?
Yeah.
Well, he was elected in 68, and then president in 69.
Right, and then we weren't supposed to be there, of course.
Okay.
So the same way with the AC, the gunship, the C-119.
But technically, were you really there? I mean, how many miles? 40 miles up, right?
Yeah.
over it. But
yeah.
Does that still count?
I think 30 miles.
Does that still count as being in their airspace when you're that high up?
You know, that it's politics.
Yeah.
You know, the Russians, they didn't want us setting any kind of records.
Uh-huh.
So what the CIA did, they just didn't say what we did. We didn't talk about it. The Air Force with the SR-71, they worked something different, but they still weren't allowed to break any records because the Russians didn't like it, and we always kowtowed to them. So,
you know, we look at the Chinese now with their technology, and they're talking about supersonic and all of that. Were the Russians really as big a threat as they were made out to be by the media and the government?
I don't believe so.
I don't either, but I want to hear your take.
No, I don't believe that they were.
Why is that?
Big a threat.
Do you think it's because of the stolen technology?
Yeah. The only reason they had what they had was because stolen. They were allowed to go in our aircraft manufacturing plants, and they had magnetic shoes, and they were picking up all the debris that was on the floor, and then they would take it home and examine it and figure out what was what, and then they would put it to what plane was being built at the time at that plant. So, I mean, it just...
I want to see that photo, George. Thank you. All right, so this one is captured 40 miles high, 211,000 feet over southeast Sudan, looking back at the Mediterranean Sea. That was your flight.
Yes.
With your camera.
I had a little camera.
It's mostly clouds and water, but it is black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
You took your Instamatic or Brownie?
I think it was a Brownie. I think I had a little thing I carried with me all the time.
Did you?
Yeah, just to have something, because you didn't say anything, so we weren't allowed
to have
be doing anything.
Sure.
You couldn't have that. Mr. Bissell didn't allow any pictures to be like that to be taken.
Sure.
So I...
Did you do any work, Chuck, with the guys in NASA, like the Gemini program? Did you know any of those guys?
They have me in some of this stuff came out of down there in L.A. at the Jet Propulsion Laboratories. I was allowed to
JPL.
Have these. JPL.
Uh-huh.
I was allowed to have a few things that because they have to approve. You can't have anything that they don't approve.
What do you think? I'm sorry, George. Were you going to ask a question?
Go.
What do you think
the most harrowing or closest call you had in the air mission-wise was in that entire... How many years are we talking about flying? Total.
Five.
5 years?
Yeah.
For the CIA?
Yeah.
What was the most harrowing mission that you had?
I slowed down to take some pictures. Worst mistake of my life.
Slowed down from... When you say slowed down, you're talking about...
Coming down
from... How many hundreds of miles an hour?
2256 miles per hour, and I think I slowed down to like 1,500.
So you're doing from Mach 3 to Mach 2.
Yes.
Okay.
And you don't want to break that design envelope because the engines quit. And there's a product called triethyl boron. And if we wouldn't have had that, the JP-7 that the aircraft used was a very highly refined kerosene. And the... What happened was it just flamed out, and I had to triethyl boron, but I didn't have a lot of fuel left. So I got the engine started by firing. It had 16 shots in a container on each engine that were made of aluminum and steel, had a steel bottom in it. Mm-hmm. And so they kept the chemical in there, but it was highly flammable. So I got the engine started, but I was running out of fuel. So I was 20 minutes... And I would have been dead in the water up there. So I got my butt down to 35,000 feet, and we had a tanker in Israel. And the tanker from Israel came over, and I refueled and got back on.
Refueled it. In wow. the air?
Yes. Yeah, 35,000 feet.
What kind of challenge is that?
Well, you have to line up for the probe.
Right.
Get the probe to come down.
Right.
And it just takes a little maneuvering.
Did you ever miss? Or risk running out of fuel, or was there a threshold you had to be at?
This was the closest for me, right?
Fumes,
here.
Huh?
Yeah.
Really?
I was down there for...
Wow.
You have to be a little concerned, even though you're in a piece of machinery.
Yeah.
You can't be sweating about it all the time. But at least you have to acknowledge to yourself. You have to acknowledge to yourself that you're in a machine... Could kill you.
Let me. Yeah, absolutely. Chuck Taylor's our guest. GS-12 pilot, retired Air Force. Piloted the A-12 Blackbird, and the risk of ejection from that high. Did that ever go through your mind, or were you trained for that? I mean,
that would be
very risky to your life, I would imagine.
One person did. At 400 knots, and he lived to tell about it.
Really?
400.
Wow.
Yeah, he punched out. Yeah, punched out. He got...
You call it punching out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he ejected and lived.
You fortunately never had to ditch.
No.
Okay.
Because if you ditched, you're dead or you're out of the program.
I was going to say, what did the company do with the ditchers, right?
No, you don't.
No?
You know, I wanted to stay in the program, so... What Mr. Bissell said, you just hang in there, and because he'd pull you out. If you crashed, you're done.
And that $235 a month, that meant a lot. I'm just saying.
You got it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you have a photo there with, looks like six gentlemen who were.
These were the Marine Guards. When I was on duty, 24-hour shift, you had a Marine Guard, and people out at the test site, they couldn't get 7 to 10 feet. You could not get around me because these Marine Guards, I always had one with me, as the other pilots did. They had the Marine Guards too. So, the Marine has a lot of people that do detached service. And
well, I just want to thank you for your service, to this country, and not only in the Air Force, but the CIA.
Yeah, it's very dedicated.
Even George, I'll thank you for your service too.
And you know, Chuck, I was still after all these years. It's Mr. Whoever. Mr. This, Mr. This.
What does that mean?
I mean, showing respect to the people that he worked for.
Oh.
It wasn't on a first name basis.
And we only have about a minute left. When was it you could talk about all this?
I had a 50-year security agreement. I couldn't talk for 50 years.
50 years?
Yes.
Did we just pass that milestone? Is that why you brought him on, George?
A couple years ago.
That was 40 years ago.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for being here. This hour, this hour flew by, and I can't even begin to tell you how honored I am to have you on the program. We're going
to
have you back. Thank you. We're definitely going
to
have you back.
Generated
a phone call. Probably should have generated about five more, but I know people are listening just as much as I am.
Yes.
And we won't have to start at the Oregon phase of the program, right? I'm just saying. All right, Chuck Taylor, our guest. He's a retired Air Force GS-12 pilot and piloted the A-12 Blackbird. Man, what a life. I'm telling you. And you know, what I'm most impressed with, Chuck, is your recall. Your recall is fantastic. I don't know how old you are. You never told me, and I don't want to know. I'm just, for all that experience all the way back before Vietnam, there's a lot of guys who don't remember as much as you.
Right.
So, great job. Great job. You're welcome.
Only confirms that, you know, Havasu, I think, is one of the main relocation programs for the witness protection program
of
the federal government.
We've established that. Roger Galloway established that a long time ago. I think he's in witness protection myself. Anyway, thanks, George. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Again, Chuck,
thank you.
George, thank you for your service
to
the country.
Back
with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot on Speak Out.
And we'll really Uncle Sam don't like the way. Got a big old plane that's gonna take me far away. I know I act tough.
All right, don't forget, tomorrow being the third Wednesday of the month, Mojave Mortgage and the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with the Real Estate Power Hour. Boom! Got a special guest coming into the studio on Thursday. District 2 Supervisor Hildy Angus will be here, and she's running for State Senate in Legislative District 30. Yes, she is a qualified candidate. And Friday we'll have some updates from Go Lake Havasu, and Kathy DeClark's going to be here from Faith and Grace, Inc. All right, Hannity's up next. It's Karate Man himself, preceded by Fox News.
Daddy, I'm afraid. Won't you stay a little while?
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.